Hello and welcome to another edition of Digital Flotsam. I'm P.W. Fenton. This episode is called Do Not Open. I need to warn you right up front that if you're in the presence of a youngster looking forward to a visit from jolly old St. Nick, shut this show off right now. No good can come from it. This is not a story for little ears. This is a story for cynical adults. I considered putting an explicit tag on it, but that would be misleading. You won't hear anything prurient in this episode, but you just might hear something that a young child doesn't want to hear. So please, listen first without them. If you've been listening to Digital Flotsam for a while, you know I'm a big sucker for Christmas. I've published my story about the greatest Christmas ever at least twice, and I've even read The Night Before Christmas as a gift to all of your children. You might say that, like many children, I was crazy about Christmas and crazy about Santa Claus. If I came across information that seemed even slightly in conflict with the story of Santa Claus as I knew it, I would instantly favor the flimsiest explanation. I remember, for instance, going from Macy's to Gimbel's department store and seeing Santa Claus talking to children in both places. I thoroughly accepted the explanation given by my father that Santa Claus couldn't really listen to the requests of every child by himself, and that he employed helpers to represent him, so as to be sure to hear them all. Apparently, he was able to make deliveries to all of them in one night due to his magical abilities, but didn't have the ability to be in every department store during the lead-up to Christmas. I saw nothing at all wrong with that explanation. In fact, I adopted its logic and used it to explain any sort of inconsistency. If I saw an anemic-looking, soaking-wet, skinny Santa on the sidewalk ringing a bell, I just thought, "Helper!" And therefore, I didn't hesitate to grab his ear, telling him the latest thing I had thought of that I might want for Christmas, because I knew he at least worked with Santa, and he would share my request with the big man himself. My belief in jolly old Saint Nick was unshakable. I heard buzzings in the schoolyard about certain bigger kids who didn't believe in Santa Claus, but all that did was make me more certain about him, because he still gave presents to all those non-believing kids. What a great Kris Kringle he was. And yes, I had learned about many of the names he went by. I mean, you know, besides his correct name, which of course was Santa Claus. There was St. Nicholas, St. Nick, Kris Kringle, Father Christmas, Sinterklaas, Papa Noel, and loads of other ones. What kind of loving man he was, not insisting that everyone in the world use his correct name. Besides, I had irrefutable proof that Santa was real. I personally, with the help of my dad, of course, made him peanut butter sandwiches and poured him a big glass of milk, which I left on the kitchen table just before I went to bed on Christmas Eve. And sure enough, on Christmas morning, when I finally remembered and ran into the kitchen, there was the empty glass and a few breadcrumbs on the plate. What more could you want as proof that the Great One had actually been there?
Gifts I'm preparing for some Christmas sharing, but I pause because hang in my stocking, I can hear a knocking. Is that you, Santa Claus. Sure is dark out, ain't the slightest spark out on my clacking jaw. Who's there? Who is it? Stopping for a visit? Is that you, Santa Claus? Are you bringing a present for me? Something pleasantly pleasant for me. That is just what I've been waiting for. Would you mind slipping it under the door? Cold winds are howling. Or could that be growling? My legs feel like stars. Yeah, my, my, oh me, my. Kindly will you reply? Is that you, Santa Claus? I can hear a knocking. Is that you, Santa Claus? I said, who's there? Who is it? You stopping for a visit? Is that you, Santa Claus? Oh, there, Santa, you gave me a scare. Now stop teasing, 'cause I know you're there. We don't believe in no goblins today, but I can't explain why I'm shaking that way. Then I can see old Santa in the keyhole. I'll get to the cause. One beacon I'll try there. Oh, oh, there's an eye there. Is that you, Santa Claus? Please, please. I paid to my knees. Say that's you, Santa Claus. That's him, all right.
Most of you, I hope, have heard my story about the greatest Christmas ever. If you haven't, stop this show now and go find Digital Flotsam number 29 and listen to it before you go on. Or at least the last third of that show, which is the story I'm referring to. Well, not many years after the events in that story, I was out for a drive with my parents. It was unusual to have private time with my parents these days. I had them all to myself for 5 years, but then came my sister, Betty Ann. And now she was the one who could do no wrong. Well, Betty Ann stayed home with my grandmother that evening, and I got to go out shopping with my parents. Apparently, my parents had some Christmas shopping to do. I personally wasn't even thinking about Christmas. Christmas was too far off for me. Dad was driving, Mom was riding shotgun, and I was in the back of the car. I was in my favorite position, standing on the hump that ran down the middle of the floor inside the car. I could stand up on that hump with my arms resting on the back of the split front seat, and I could see out the front window and was virtually standing right between my parents. My parents were talking, but I wasn't interested in what they were talking about. I was paying attention to the car radio. I don't remember what it was I was listening to, but in those days, it really didn't much matter. I just loved listening to the radio. My mind was far away when I realized my mother was actually talking to me. My attention switched over as I hoped I could pick up enough to figure out what I had missed. My mother was still speaking. Now, you better not tell your sister that there's no such thing as Santa Claus, because she still believes in him. My mind raced as I tried to make sense of what I was hearing. I tried to play back in my mind the things that my parents were saying before I became aware that they were talking to me. Something about Christmas presents, something about telling my sister what they were buying her. Something about, don't tell my sister there is no Santa Claus? What? Don't tell my sister? Don't tell me! Oh, don't tell me you didn't know it was just me and Daddy. Of course you knew. You're not stupid. You're a big boy now. Well, anyway, don't ruin Christmas for your sister, or you'll be in a lot of trouble. I slumped backward into the big back seat, out of my parents' line of sight, and just started to cry. Don't ruin Christmas for my sister? How about not ruining it for me? I was crushed. Without warning, everything was suddenly gone. Nothing I believed in was safe. Everything my parents had told me was now suspect. Nothing I thought I knew was reliable. It was a big sham. Not even a decade old, and I had to start my whole life over. I had to decide for myself whether anything I had been told was true. From the ashes of my former life, a skeptic was born.
Who says there ain't no Donna, no blitzing unbelievers? Who says there ain't no Santa Claus? Oh, what a time for living, forgetting and forgiving. Who says there ain't no Santa Claus? Angels have shown us life is a Christmas bonus. So who can say that there's no Saint Nicholas? It's too ridiculous. Rudolph out the red-nosed reindeer, we'll swear we're all insane there. Who says there's no Kris Kringle? Just hear the money jingle. Who says there ain't no Santa Claus? Hail, hail the bells and berries from Macy's and St. Mary's. Who says there ain't no Santa Claus? Hark to the drums and cymbals from Saxes and from Gimbals. Who says there ain't no Santa Claus? Joy is unending, Chrysler is now ascending. No use pretending, it's all fictitious. Don't be suspicious. Who started this dilemma? Ask Hammacher and Slammer. Look at the Christmas prices. Who says there is a crisis? Who says there ain't no Santa Claus?
As painful as that experience was for me, I have no real regrets. When I think about it today, I think it would be easy for me to think it was a cruel practice to fill a child's heart with joy and wonder just for the thrill of watching him believe. To this day, I still cling to the feeling those magical beliefs brought me. But in reality, the unwelcome discovery that there is no Santa Claus was probably the most valuable lesson I ever learned from my parents. It turned me into a person with the insatiable desire to learn the truth. And yet there will always be inside me the feeling of wonder and awe that belief in such fantasies can bring. I have no doubt that when my dad told me that Christmas Eve that he had just seen Santa walking in the snow, he wanted to believe it every bit as much as I did. When I played Digital Flotsam number 29 for him for the first time, I wondered how many of my memories would match his. It matched his recollection perfectly, and I could see in the way he talked about that Christmas that he was as fond of it as I was. He enjoyed that Christmas because of the fantasy he created for me to enjoy. As I record this, I am living my 600th day since I last hugged my dad. Oddly enough, it's the same number of days since I couldn't imagine a world without him. Would I have held him tighter if I knew it was my last chance? Would I have said anything different? Would I now even remember what it was I said in those last moments? I do know now that not only can I not imagine a world without him, but that no such world could exist. He's not gone. I just haven't hugged him in a while. Told you, 'cause it's true. I'd get over losing anything, but I'll never get over losing you. When you're young and there's time, you forget. You will, but you do. But I know now I don't have time enough, and I'll never get over losing you. I've been cold, I've been hungry. I guess most of my dreams have come true. With it all here around me, no peace do I find, 'cause I never get over losing you. No, I'm never. So there you have it, another edition of Digital Flotsam. As always, you can find additional information as well as links to the great music I played in the show notes on digitalflotsam.org. Two of the songs I played you can download for free if you follow my e-music special offer link listed there as well. And please send me some email and let me know what you think of all this. Just click on the link Contact PDub. And remember that throughout this production,
Edub holded the microphone.